You are listening to the Green Lantern Corecast, episode number 108. This episode, Season's Greetings.
And joining me today is my smaller yet still equally impressive team of Colton, ever-present, Andrew, the host of the GreenLanternForums.com.
We're all and, equally yoked here.
And Brandon, our caretaker of Speedy News. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Amazing.
Free at last.
Nice. Today we're going to be discussing Green Lantern number 4 and Red Lanterns number 4, as well as a little bit of news that Brandon has ready for us. Brandon, what do you have?
We got a lot of news, actually. I guess first up is for those out there still playing DC Universe Online, they announced just a couple of days ago that everyone's favorite Lantern, Lar Flees, will be making his debut in the game, complete with his own Christmas-themed pack or download. Yeah, Christmas trees and presents, the size of buildings, snowmen, and obviously Larfleet. So,
and he's wearing a hat.
A Santa hat, yeah.
Yeah, because when you think giving, you think Larfleet.
So it's uniquely titled Season's Greetings with a D.
I see what they did there.
Yeah, so anybody still playing that here? I know Eric is still playing it.
Eric's still the only one playing. Andrew, I know you were playing it for a while.
Well, are
you still
playing? I was hard up for cash for a little bit, so I filed a complaint with my bank to try to retroactively get back up, like, all the money I've ever spent on the game. it didn't work, but I did cancel the game. I guess nowadays I could get back into it and do the play for free thing, but I don't know. I just haven't had the time or really the inclination. I do want to play it again eventually, but
I mean, there's moments here and there where I think about, think to myself that I may want to start up DC Universe again, but yeah, those days aren't as
prevalent.
Yeah, there you go. That's prevalent. I mean, even with the Green Lantern pack that just recently came out for all Green Lantern fans who want to create their own little lanterns running around in the universe, except they don't have any Green Lantern symbols on them. But
I almost think that had the opposite effect for me, like opposite than what was desired. Like, I don't know. Now it's like now everyone can be this Green Lantern, and literally, I think like the second day after the pack came out, like I turn on the game, I log in, everyone around me has a ring, and it's like, oh, that's like,
doesn't make it a special anymore,
no,
does it?
No, not at all.
All right. Aside from that, if you want to get into the DCUO, download the content for the Larfleeze game, which is coming out soon, and get to watch Larfleeze running around with a hat and a lot of Orange Lantern, you know, entities and things like that. Brandon, what else do we have?
Warner Brothers Animation announced the release date for their upcoming straight-to-DVD film. Justice League Doom will be in stores February 28th. Obviously, it's a little higher on Blu-ray, $25 and $20 on DVD. But obviously, Green Lantern is in it, voiced again by Nathan Fillion. I think Superman is voiced by Tim Daly. And a bunch of other returning voices, Kevin Conroy, Michael Rosenbaum, Susan Eisenberg as Wonder Woman. And yeah, so that'll be in store soon. And apparently the next Warner Brothers Animation DVD is Superman versus the Elite. So the end of the year of Green Lantern is officially over. We don't get any more animated movies. We had our time.
But we are still getting a television series.
That's true. And speaking of television series, there was an interview with producer Giancarlo Volpe, who gave these bullet points on what to expect in the show when it returns in 2012. Prepare for a pretty consistent death count in the first 6 episodes. We already know from the first episode that 2 people died and a bunch of people on the planet may have died. Episode 7 is very intense and is a great tentpole event for the first 13 episodes. You will meet more Green Lanterns than just Hal and Kilowog. You will meet more Red Lanterns than Atrocitus, Razor, and Zox. And there will be at least one other Lantern color somewhere in the first 13 episodes besides red and green.
I thought they want us to watch these things.
Hey, it has me hooked already. I mean, death, you know, other colors.
It's a very strange way to start out. Like, there's a high death count. Okay.
Hey, kids, don't you love Green Lantern? Well, wait until the corpses start piling up.
Do you like Green Lantern? Do you like death? Check us out.
Check this out, people.
Also, Green Lantern, the animated series, was nominated for a 2011 Annie Award for Best Music and Best General Television Program. So,
wow, that's saying a lot for the
1 hour special. Yeah,
1 hour special
that premiered in November, nonetheless. Yeah, so congratulations to the Green Lantern team. Hopefully, you guys think. Well, Andrew wasn't here when we talked about it. Did you enjoy it, Andrew? Have you seen it yet?
I haven't seen it. No.
Sucks to be you.
It's any good?
That's all right.
It's pretty good, actually.
I think you can check 2 episodes back and enjoy our commentary on it. One more bit of news. Absolute edition of Sinestro Core War is on its way. Coming in September of next year, you'll get Absolute Green Lantern Sinestro Core War, collecting Green Lantern 21 through 25, Green Lantern Core 14 through 19, Green Lantern Sinestro Core Special 1, obviously, and that's it.
Yeah, sadly, we're missing a few other books in that title.
A few side books, but that's not that bad. I figured they'd include just the Green Lantern stuff.
Go ahead and say the pun, Frankie.
I guess this Absolute Green Lantern title isn't absolutely worth our purchase. It was well enough. I guess
they were drinking Absolute when they planned it.
Ah, there you go. That's reference.
That was decent enough, I guess. I guess we could go with that one. Carlton has a better joke, everybody.
The world is ending. Thank you.
All right, so
anybody going to pick it up?
Oh, most definitely. I'll probably pick up the Absolute Sinestro Core book. I mean, I've always wanted to have a gigantic version of that, you know, that story, like sitting on my coffee table. Yeah. That'd be nice.
I can't if I get the money, sarcasm or not.
It's not sarcasm. Honestly, I have a coffee table. I would like to put that on there.
I still have to get Absolute Green Lantern Rebirth.
Do you want it? Or?
Well, I don't know where my Rebirth issues actually are. They're somewhere in a shoebox in the closet, buried 6 miles underneath trash.
I enjoyed Rebirth, but I don't think it was, I don't think there was enough in there. I think it was just those 7 issues to justify an Absolute edition. At least the Absolute Final Crisis that was announced a couple weeks ago has like 10 issues. So, I don't know. I guess I'm happy for Sinestro Core War. It's more light shined on Green Lantern, so that's a good
thing. It is culturally the most well known and well received storyline out of Green Lantern history in the past 4 years.
Yeah, and I still see it in bookstores when I frequent them.
It was John's prime on the series. Let's leave it at that.
Kind of the end of his prime, something. Ooh.
Really. Ooh. Wow.
Well, you actually,
the last 4 years.
Start of it was this prime.
The start of the Sinestro Core War, yes, that was awesome. But then middle and third acts were as much lame and lackluster as they were non-existent. I mean, they were like, there was no end, and it just meandered off into nothing.
Yeah, so it sort of lingered into an event. Just a fight scene between Hal Jordan and Sinestro for no reason on top of a rooftop.
Jeff, and we're done.
Yeah, it's like
Jeff Johns is the kind of guy who gives you the best idea.
Sinestro
great idea.
War special. It's like, here's this big gathering of all these awesome bad guys, and you know, as a reader, you pick it up, you get to the end, it's like, oh wow, that's awesome. I was among these people that reacted that way, and it's like, oh, there must be an awesome story for like why these guys are all here ready to kick the good guys' asses, and then it turns out, no, they didn't have any plan. There was no real story in place. They're just like, no.
Antimonitor was just there. I'm like, I'm experimenting on a giant space whale. What am I doing? What's
that
my
was
motivation?
The plan.
Space whale? Cool.
That was the extent of the plan. Just let's get them together.
In terms of pushing the envelope in terms of like making things a little bit heightened throughout the story. I mean, yes, it didn't really have that much of a basis of how everything actually, you know, got underway, but pretty much everything started getting bigger and bigger as the story went on. And I can respect it for that. The only real problem was, again, lackluster Sinestro versus Hal Jordan on a rooftop and a 2x4 to the face. And that's it, people. I mean, that's all you need. I mean, I love the little, you know, the scene at the end where John Stewart and Guy Gardner sick with a virus inside of him who killed Kyle's mom, and then a giant exploding antimatter. That was all cool stuff. I mean, if you could just leave it there and not pan away to Hal Jordan and take Kyle from there and put him where the rest of the action was, that would have been awesome.
Well, absolute Green Lantern Sinestro Corps War, like I said, will be in stores September 2012 for the retail price of $100. You should probably find it cheaper online or through discounted at your local comic book store. And that's it for news.
Awesome. So we're going to move underway to our reviews of Red Lanterns number 4 and Green Lantern number 4. So let's pick up with Red Lanterns number 4. Pretty much the story of how Atrocitus cannot seem to understand basic emotions or understanding when things are actually has nothing to do with him. I think he's very egocentric, it seems. I mean, going into an entire reason of, man, you're looking at me funny. I'm going to throw you into a vat of blood and make you understand or bite into you. I mean, what's a good philosophy major and all? Anyway, Brandon, what do you think of this issue?
I think Atrocitus is beyond crazy. I think he's one. I think that people would like to make the argument that the Joker is one of the smartest people on the planet because everything he does is so crazy, but it's so methodically planned out. Atrocitus is not that guy. He's crazy in the sense that he's acting on complete impulse. He says he's thinking about things, but he's really just thinking about what's going to happen when I do it, not the repercussions of it. So when he runs into some guy, he's immediately thinking, I need to get you back on my side. And he has no idea how he's going to do that. So his first instinct is, I'm going to intimidate you. When that doesn't work, when he should have known that was not going to work, he bites the man. And we get this new power that he can read people's memories through their blood or something.
Remember, he does use blood magic.
That's an old thing.
Is that old?
Yeah, it's ever since like the Secret Origin when he had blood and stuff.
You know, the blood magic that he's able to do is, you know, sprays blood on the floor and then takes your chicken bones or whatever and starts doing voodoo. But from here, this is all, apparently I can read your intentions or read your mind by sucking on your blood, with vampiric tastes, and then able to, you know, read your memories. That was never mentioned before. But it's weird. I mean,
I don't understand why he felt the need to, number one, throw the guy in the pool of blood, thinking that, knowing that the man could either die or come back and want to kill him afterwards.
Here's the thing. Atrocitus' whole group is rage, uncontrollable rage. He may be the most in control one, but there's not much on pulling back and thinking.
The only reason he put Bleeze in there is because he wanted an ally, just in case, you know, because, what was it, that he needed somebody to talk to beyond Krona, that he wanted to make sure that the Red Lanterns had a direction. And then when he realized she may not be trustworthy, he went out to get some random other Red
Lantern. That's 2 out of 3.
Let's try this again. Like this guy won't die, you know, and then, I forgot his name. Zox. His big head just... Not Zox. Who was it? I don't remember. There's some ugly-faced Red Lantern comes.
We know
it's
Zox.
No,
the alien, not the alien with the tentacles.
The pink one. Yes. He was so ugly. He gets thrown in there, too.
Adorable looking. What are you talking about?
It's disgusting. I don't know what the focus is of this book. I guess we could talk about the end. Krona's disgusting non-rotting body is kidnapped, and Atrocitus loses his life partner.
Or it's one of those like Chucky incidences where he's just come to life and he's going to start serial killing, stabbing people with the knife.
I don't know. You can kind of see, like, if you look where Krona was, like, there's like giblets there, and like there's like something there still. Like he was eaten, or he molted into something else. I don't know. Something happened.
He molted?
I mean, but what would be the point of kidnapping Krona?
Like a half a rib cage there or something. No?
Well, I'm going to look into it. No, just yellow goo. Just yellow goo.
Maybe a tiny Krona jumped out of him. Just devoured the
core. A tiny Krona jumped out of the tiny guardian.
So you're telling me he went from full-size dude to giant-size abstract creation to little dude, and a littler dude jumped out of him?
Yeah, basically.
He's like one of those little toys that pop open, and there's a smaller one, and a smaller one, and a smaller one.
Oh, a Russian doll. That you're talking
Yeah. That's
all right. All right, someone try to explain the pacing of this book to me. I mean, I know for 1 second, you know, Atrocitus is fighting over his dominion. The next second, he's on another planet fighting off some other guy's dominion. And then the third second, he's back doing something, and then Krona's gone.
This book is just filled with so many good intentions. We've talked about this every month since this book started, for 4 months now. Wow. That Peter Milligan wants to tell this genius story of how Atrocitus is actually really smart and how rage consumes us all. And the problem is he doesn't have any focus. Like, he jumps from the kids in London to that ridiculous story. How horrible is that? I'm going to run up in my friend's house and have him save my life as a last resort. And then the cops immediately show up at his friend's house.
His brother is actually
his brother. And you expect him to save your ass after you, like, you're berating him in the process of doing it. And it's just like, what is the point? It's like, and like, if you wanted to make this guy a Red Lantern, which is obviously going to happen, you should have done
Razor.
It 2 issues ago. I don't think they'll call it Razor, but I think it's generally Razor.
All right, Andrew, what do you think of this book itself? Give me your thoughts.
I think people forget, not that it's really being paid off much here, but like, this is like the only book out there that stars like a guy that's, you know, 5 billion years old. But anyway, I know you guys have an axe to grind with Ed Benes, but apart from not drawing Atrocitus like Atrocitus, I really don't have much of a problem with him at all. His art to me is, like, never not interesting to look at. It was fine here. The human Red Lantern, not terribly impressed with the story so far. It's like he's trying to avenge his grandpa's death, old granddad, by burning a house down, and the cops are after him, and he's angry, I guess. I'm not saying this is a terrible backstory, but it doesn't really make a good case for, you know, how he gets the ring out of anyone on Earth or Sector 2814, you know, including Doomsday, who has, you know, millennia worth of blind rage bottled up.
Remember, apparently the cat outstages Doomsday and Rage, well. Right?
Just picture that for a moment. His sector partner is a cat.
Yeah, that's true. And then the backstories of the guys that went in the pit or the lake or whatever, it was cool, but, you know, if they don't survive, like, in the next issue, it in retrospect, it makes it all seem like a waste to me. Like,
I'm pretty sure they'll all
thanks
survive.
Thanks for wasting my time with, that's all I got. I moderately enjoyed this issue, but I wasn't impressed, really. I would say the art is the only high point for me. I know it's not for
you
guys. All
right, so good art for you, bad, or overall not impressive. Impressive story.
No.
All right, Colton, give me your details.
Well, from what I can remember from the issue, because, you know, brain dead right now, I kind of enjoyed it. I mean, I could see what Andrew's trying to say. Like, it's trying to do some interesting stuff, and there is some good points, but it really feels like he's just holding back a little too much. Like, he's just trying to set up this masterful net, but he's not really just, you know, delivering quite on every point. I think if he did a little less, set up a little bit more payoff, something we need. Because, you know, some of us fans can be a little impatient on that matter, and I kind of want to see more from this, because it's an interesting idea, the whole Red Lantern setup, but I'm just not sure if he's delivering it in the right way.
I think a lot of writers these days are writing in that 6-7 issue format where you're strictly writing for the trade, even though, you know, monthly sales are the direct sales.
Basically the opposite of everything that DC told us they were going to do with DC New.
Exactly. And I think some writers are really strong at that. You look at Tomasi and how we had to pain through Emerald Warriors, and it was so slow going. And I think this is the exact same thing. I think Red Lanterns is just so – it's like inching its way towards something interesting. And we're 4 issues in, and he's got 2-3 to wrap this up. Well, I mean, other books, I think – what was it? Frankenstein, I just read, just wrapped up his story arc, and I'm thinking, like, Red Lantern's just, you're not even halfway there, and, you know, other stories are just whipping by you, they're, like, lapping you on a racetrack. I don't know where Peter Milligan is going, but he's going so slow that other series are making this look even worse.
Right.
If you're gonna go that slow, at least make it fun enough to compel us to wanna go that slow pace.
I mean, the most interesting thing here, and not even in this just issue, but the most interesting thing in these last 4 issues was Krona's kidnapping, and like how big of a mystery is that? I mean, am I really, and you know, gonna be thinking who kidnapped a dead body? Like, why do I care? Had someone
even,
like.
And even that's like a carryover from like the last big Green Lantern event.
It's exactly. Like where's the new threat? Right.
True. Yeah, this Red Lantern-ish, like the past 4 issues of themselves, has been a little bit of letdown. I mean, Peter Milligan has been trying his best to craft an ingenious, methodical little mental piece. I mean, we're trying to understand the inner workings of Atrocitus' head. Yet, for a being who's over billions and billions of years old, it seems kind of a stretch of us to actually try to want to understand this guy's head. He should have had, you know, his 2 cents already, you know, put together at one point. He should understand where he's going in life, and yet he doesn't.
It seems like they downplay the, you know, that he's billions of years old. They downplay all that for some weird reason, and they don't even want to get into like the few things that interest me about the Red Lantern Corps. Like, I want to hear about like the past with the Empire of Tears and
the
inversions
and
all that stuff.
There's many stories that they could have gone for here, especially for the first of Red Lantern issue number 1, especially going into the Empire of Tears, understanding for one how Atrocitus even created this core. I mean, ever since his creation during the War of Lights, I would call it. There was nothing. I mean, he rips out this the lantern from inside the gullet of what's that one guy's name? The guy who pretty much, you know, from the Tiger story.
Starts with a
It was the Empire of Tears. He killed all the surviving members, the biggest hate in the universe, and pulled their blood all together. He basically used his powers to combine all their hatred into one. Into the battle.
Doesn't really look that way in the storyline, though.
It just I think that's the intent, if nothing else.
Possibly the intent, but all we remember is him ripping it out of the dude's gut. And it's like, here's a lantern. No, you were hiding it this entire time. I have no idea why I didn't think about this in the first place.
Well, he didn't.
But,
did we see him rip it out of his... I feel like it was already there, and he just beat him to death.
It was in a silhouette. You see him raise his arm up, and pretty much you see him pretty much rip the lantern out. And that's pretty much how it was.
Really?
Yeah. Outside of that, the only time we ever see the Red Lanterns was the Red Lantern special, where he's swimming in the lake, in the ocean of blood.
When he makes the ring, yeah.
Yeah, a Ryut or whatever, the hell that place is called.
Yzmalt.
Yzmalt, and that's it. We never really see him at all going like, this is how I create these rings. This is how where all these lanterns come from. This is how this giant lantern behind me, like, you know, emerged from.
In fact, rather than offer an explanation, they made it even more confusing in Blackest Night with the Gantha thing about, oh yeah, all the rings are programmed from the same blueprints or whatever,
Atrocitus
would have had access to on Yzmalt.
You know, you could make the argument that basically he just used his magic to create his hate version of them. Just a magic creation of that version.
If you're Peter Milligan, do you want to really dive into that? Does that sound interesting to you? As a new writer to this. I can see Jeff Johns saying, oh, let me tackle this for a second, because I haven't.
Well, at this point,
Jeff Johns will never tackle that.
At this point, we're talking about little things, but I mean, like the bigger things, like, you know, his people and, you know, the Empire of Tears and the inversions that he's, you know, he is.
Because that's very true, because in many aspects, we're supposed to understand Atrocitus' character and his motivation and what he's going through. And that could have easily been told through the fact that they could have talked about the Empire of Tears, about the Virgins, everything that's going on. Because, again, his planet was destroyed, and then it left five guys.
Yeah, I thought I knew everything there was to know about Atrocitus, and then he started talking to Krona.
Yeah, and they started talking about
him. I just don't know where to go.
I was a philosopher. I married St. Walker.
I'll get a little dark and talk about forever, daddy. Anyway, let's move on from this this issue itself, Red Lantern number 4, and move on to Green Lantern number 4. Pretty much the, not the conclusion, but the what had happened to Hal Jordan after he stepped inside the giant yellow power battery and was disintegrated, and yet not. Carlton, you were talking about this recently.
Yeah, I didn't notice at first, but when I read this issue, the first thing I thought on the first page was, wait, this is the exact same thing that happened to Sinestro when we thought he was killed and he's going to the antimatter universe. And when it looked like Kyle was killed, but he just went to the antimatter universe. It's the exact same type of transportation. It looks like they're being destroyed, but it's not.
Yeah, everybody and their mom pretty much called that.
I didn't.
I think it's pretty much counting on people to have completely forgot about that.
Yeah, that definitely didn't cross my mind.
I honestly forgot about it.
Same here.
I'm sorry. I mean, it was a one-handed thing that they did back in the Rebirth and I think a little bit later during Sinestro Corps War.
Yeah, that's about all we saw that.
And that was all we ever saw about that matter transportation thing. That was it. Never again mentioned.
Wasn't that enough? I mean, we know he's not really getting.
Years ago,
we know he's not really getting deconstructed.
They could have done it again in the most recent storyline involving the anime universe, which was the Weaponeer storyline, which they didn't do. They didn't do that at all during that storyline. We all wondered how the fuck they got over there.
Well, this isn't a Sinestro Corps exclusive thing, is it? Like, if Hal jumped into the Green Battery, would he be transported to Earth or something?
Well, it depends on what rules they have this week. You know.
Yeah,
you know, it's basically said from a Sinestro side, he pretty much set it up so if he had to get the heck out of there, he could just immediately get teleported through his battery. He has a contingency that says, "Fuck this, I'm out of the universe."
Yeah, he has a one way ticket out of there.
To be safe, I think that Sinestro's like main goal. I mean, how many times has he already been imprisoned in giant lantern shaped battery things? I mean. It was just one off way of like, if my troops throw me in a giant battery, I'm gonna have them.
That last time, that was the last time. I'm gonna make sure that
this again. I'm getting out of there instantly. You gotta give it to Sinestro. At least he thinks ahead.
Yeah. But the issue itself, Calder. What do you think about?
Oh, I definitely enjoyed some of it. I liked seeing just Sinestro's reaction to torture. It's just like. Yeah, you stop now. I'm going to murder you. And it was nice seeing Hal's brilliant plan of, hey, let's give all these people who hate you power rings. Yeah, that was kind of not the smartest thing.
Why not?
Unless that was Hal's plan to get Sinestro killed, then bravo.
But go on.
Well, it's just the kind of thing that Hal thinks like, oh, we'll all work together, be the heroes, and then they'll just let me drag Sinestro off to the power battery at the end of the throw him in. It's like, no, they're tired of this. They're going to kill him. honestly, what did you expect? I mean, I guess the Sinestro's arrogance, he thought, oh, they'll be grateful for all the help I did with them in the past, and they'll surely welcome me back as I give them power. No.
All right, so, Andrew, what do you think?
Well, it was a decent enough issue, but I'm, like we were kind of talking about before, I'm still kind of, I find myself pissed that I'm reading Sinestro Part 4, you know, of 5 or 6 or 7 or whatever the fuck it'll be, and not like the second or third standalone story that DC was kind of promising for the DC New, but you can't put too much fault there because, you know, none of the other Lantern titles are doing it either. But, you know, the core title of GL really hasn't done that ever since, like, the first issues of the last volume, so it's just really bothering me here. I mean, just comparing the first few issues of Volume 4 to these first few issues of 5, there's just no comparison. It's like Jeff just, he's a completely different writer now and just not in a good way at all. Most of the character beats that are supposed to invoke intrigue or, you know, ooh, what a big revelation about Sinestro and his secret retcon past, I can't wait to learn more. I'm just numb to all of that now. What I did like, Professor Incid, he seemed like a nice sick fuck, and I like sick fucks, so I dug his design, so I approve. The arbitrary, super intense cliffhanger is just stupid. Number one, we already know the rings he makes can't hurt him. We found that out like two issues ago, so it's hardly like, oh my god, Sinestro's in trouble or anything, because we know he's not. So it's not a terrible story or even a bad idea, the issue, but it's just not told very well. Art was cool, and the colors were colorful.
Yeah, you expect colorful colors in Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Nice colors. Brandon, give me your take on this issue.
You know what? Gonna say this, and I don't want you guys to beat me over the head with it.
You loved it.
Of course not.
I loved it. I thought it was the best Green Lantern. It's the best Green Lantern issue since the very first New Guardians issue, way back when Carol and Hal had their sit down. Yeah, you guys mentioned all the parts way back, right after.
Oh, I thought you were referring to '90s New Guardians. It's like, what?
Yeah, that's what I was.
Snowflame, really?
No,
he was issue two, not issue one.
I was trying to remember the issue of Kyle's book where Hal sat down with. No, never mind.
Yeah, you guys hit all the points that I liked. I just happen to like them more than you. Professor Incid looks great, and I think his design really shows that a lot of these superheroes are. Like weird, like his suit is like literally hanging off his body. Like it's not a tight fit. He's not like super muscular, so it's not gonna be super tight on him. So clearly, Hal Jordan, Batman, Flash, all these people just like spandex.
Vanity. Did you just call the torturing fat clown creature superhero?
No, I called him stylish and realistic. That's what I'm going for. Incid seems like a really great person. I hope he's not immediately killed in the next issue. I like that the Sinestro Corps is following Arkillo. That seems like the logical next step. I like that they remember that Mongo was defeated so easily with Sinestro's failsafe. Yeah, there's a lot to like. Obviously, the colors were the star in this issue because between that and Doug Monkey's art, this was a great looking book. What else? What did you mention, Colton?
Oh well, generally I did like the concept of the whole setup with the charging in, and it's interesting to see them trying to empower the town, even though it backfired. I thought that
there you go. Thank you. I think it's a cheesy cliffhanger, but at the end of the day, they don't know that we just tried that two issues ago, and. You know, if you really do hate this man, if he really is responsible for your entire planet being in suffering and pain, then, yeah, you're going to take that shot as soon as you can. I wouldn't have even said anything. Had we gotten the same cliffhanger we got last issue with another Green Lantern getting shot in the head or something. I'm thinking of Flash. But Sinestro getting disintegrated, then I'll be like, cool. Because that's right. That's what should happen. Arsona should have killed him. The conversation between Arsona and Sinestro, I liked it. I don't think it was all that damaging to continuity, I think there's enough room in his history to where you can put in a little lieutenant in there that wanted to serve. I mean, I like that idea that somebody had to... Well, not even on a physical or attractive thing.
Well, no, just
even Hitler had his Eva Braun.
Not that. I just mean someone.
I mean, I like the fact that
an advocate.
There had to be a group of people that actually believed in what Sinestro was doing.
Her being the legal ambassador to the Green Lantern Corps was awesome. The fact that she had to talk her people into legally doing this, like. Look, we had to recognize you in that symbol. There's no legal mandate for the Guardians of the Universe. We don't have to allow you here. Like, I chose to be on your side, and you betrayed that trust. So much so that we have people fucking burning out in the streets right now. So thanks a lot. Like, she has a legit reason to be mad. This guy is the worst villain in the universe, and he doesn't know it. He literally doesn't know it. And, like, Geoff Johns continues to bang it over the head. Sinestro does not want to be redeemed. He doesn't think he needs to be redeemed. But this story is just like, he's going to be redeemed, damn it. Like, that's what you're going to get. He doesn't want it. You don't want it. But it's coming. You're going to like Sinestro. And, damn it, I'm liking Sinestro.
That's a nice positive spin to it, actually. I
very passionate.
Just simply no way to, it's not like you can't take it's not like a penny you can just rub it enough and it gets clean. No, this is the guy that's murdered trillions of people.
So if he saves his own people, you won't forgive
him. Okay, that makes good for, 0.00001% of everything he's done,
a very long, long, harsh road he'll be on in redemption that he doesn't want to be on, and nobody actually wants Sinestro to be on. I mean, he makes an interesting villain. He doesn't make a good, actual hero. Even when he was shown as a hero in previous Green Lantern stories, no, he makes the good bad guy, who believes in his cause. That's the thing about him. That's what Sinestro is. Yeah. Even way back in the day. I have to say it, to admit, I did like this issue too. I will, first off the bat, Brandon's not the only one. I did like the way that they were characterizing most of what's going on in this issue. The Incid is a terrific new addition to a roster of villains that's going on. And I would love to see if this character actually keeps going. I mean, that's one of the interesting things. If you could keep more interesting characters instead of just the one beats that we normally get, how many times do we actually get our killer doing anything? I mean, yes, we know he's around, but how many times do we actually get him to do anything? I want these characters to keep going on, more on these guys, more on just the fact that they're this gigantic verse of other interesting characters that's happening. Even Arsona as a character who was just added into Sinestro's repertoire of, retconning past is an interesting beat. I mean, yes, it's just a logical conclusion that there would have been people who agreed with Sinestro in a way or believed in his cause in a way that he was forming it back then. It's just, these are very interesting things. And Doug Monkey's artwork blows everything out of the water so far. I mean, I love the little creating construct that Incid did to hold Sinestro and try to remove his ring. It was just fantastic looking. Yes, the writing sometimes is a little bit hackney. There's a few things that I just can't get past. I mean, this is how Sinestro screams? Man, this is crazy. All I see is the "Arg!" I'm like, that's normally what anyone would scream in that situation, man. And I still, even a little offbeat notes. I mean, yes, we talked about Sinestro to death in this, but Hal Jordan's little offbeat little trying to escape himself, and then the last thing that he'll create is a picture of Carol was a nice beat. I mean, even though as many times as we've already seen Hal Jordan and Carol's situation go up and down in the past like 6 years.
At least break up with Cowgirl first, asshole.
At least show Cowgirl again so we can have a proper
At least acknowledge that she exists or something.
Had they not shown that first page where he was thinking about all the times that of how she felt about him over the past year or so, I would have been really thinking that his last memory had been his dad. I was really gunning for his last thought to be his dad.
I think that's supposed to be more than a year. I think that's supposed to be encapsulate like his whole.
Well, it seems like a year because she's so flippy.
Yeah. That whole little scenario of how Jordan remembered Carol Ferris throughout his memory. I think that was supposed to be his life flashing before his eyes, yeah. And each point was supposed to be beats from different parts of his life because they were talking about her, like her. She was dating him as an employee, and that's well before now. He hasn't worked for in years. So that was supposed to be my life rewind in front of me as I die for like the third time. I mean, Hal Jordan has died a lot now. But again, this story itself, I enjoy. I mean, for what's going on, I'm actually enjoying it. But, you know, bringing back to what Brandon said many times ago, these stories aren't standalone most of the time. These are going straight to trade. I mean, this entire thing will seem much better in the long run after it's put together in the trade paperback form. But aside from that, I enjoyed it. Even the little beats where Hal Jordan's at the end going, Sinestro, you can do it, man. I believe in you. Little moments was hilarious because the man still destroyed more planets than anyone can remember. And is a mass murderer. It's hilarious.
Well, let me ask you guys this. I did this back when Tony Bedard was banging you guys' heads against the wall during the Weaponer arc. We're 4 issues in. You got 2 or 3 left to go in the arc. What will it take to make this, Andrew said, it's nothing like the first few issues of Green Lantern Volume 4. What would it take to make the Sinestro arc a standout read for you at this point? What can make this series better? What would be the, if Sinestro does get redeemed, is that what you want? Or if Sinestro goes to jail, is that what you want?
To be honest, what would really impress me and make me able to kind of put this in a little envelope and put it in the back of my head is, that was an all right story arc. But I mean, it's already too late to like, do better than like the first part of Volume 4 because it's just not the kind of stories he's telling anymore. What he could do is just simply provide a, you know, an actual ending for the first time in forever, and you know, just whether it's Sinestro being redeemed, whether that's just in the eyes of, you know, the Corps or the Guardians or even supposedly some of the readers. I don't know, but that could be one route they go. Another route could be he just says to hell with it, or maybe he dies or something, I don't know. But just any kind of an ending that's not going to just slap a big...
What's next?
Whether it's actually printed or not, you know, a big to be continued, you know, in the next 7 or 8 issue mega arc that they fucking promised they wouldn't do, and here it is.
Here it is.
Yeah, I do miss a little when they had the end, or Fiend at the end of books. I'm like, yeah, there you go, see? It happened. It ended the storyline. Next week will be a brand new Hal Jordan gets a job. Carlton, what do you think of Brandon's question?
That's tough to say. I mean, I'm not even sure what I want from this arc. I mean, I'm a pretty open guy. I like a lot of different things, so I think there are a number of ways that John could do it to pull it together and make it really interesting, but I'm just not sure if he's going to go any route other than something predictable and cliche, which is what my concern is. I mean, he's a good writer when he hits the right stride, but I'm not sure if he's going to hit it this time.
Well, Johns has never, you know, just thrown a bunch of rings at a problem before, has he? He's never done that.
No.
Doesn't sound familiar.
Doesn't sound familiar at all. You know what will make this storyline even better for me? I mean, to be honest, I mean, this 4th issue has been like the mark of making, you know, this storyline actually worth my time. But if Hal Jordan gives an expiring speech at the end of the next issue to like round up all these Green Lantern and the Corps Guardians to get on his side, that's all I need. A rousing speech. The same one he gave to Sinestro who made him change his mind about things and then, you know, fly off and become a Green Lantern again. That's all I need.
If he has to give the cliched speech, at least let Sinestro punch him in the face and tell him to shut up.
Well, I think as much as I love this issue, I don't think like making a bunch of rings is going to solve anything. I mean, aren't you just going to drain? I mean, you've already drained Sinestro. You saw that was evident. And now it's up to them to break through that sail. And essentially those rings are just lesser versions of the ring you already had. powering yourself down. So it's the same power. It's just delegated to other people now. I don't understand how that makes them more. Yeah.
Studio magic.
I'm guessing that he's hoping that one of those people.
I don't know that it works like that. I mean, it's basically the same thing as if every ring that somebody has is still a fully powered ring. It's just it doesn't have quite the battery life.
I'm gonna guess that Sinestro decided to ignore Johns' rule and decided to create the old fashioned rings that have infinite power for 24 hours, but they only last for like 5 minutes because they divided it up.
It's a weird case scenario, but with these rings, apparently John picks and chooses what he likes of Green Lantern lore, and then just puts a new spin on it. But to be funny about this entire situation, I just started thinking about it. This storyline is technically Tomasi's storyline, isn't it?
How so?
With Daxam. This entire thing is the Daxam storyline in a way, isn't it?
Well, so didn't destroy the planet.
Huh? I mean, it's just you put the Sinestro Corps on a different planet and then just give them infinite power. I mean, yes, they don't have a yellow sunlight and Superman's all amazing, you know, heat vision, but you technically just gave everybody, select few, power, like, you know, the greatest weapon in the universe to fight back against their oppressors. This is technically the Daxam storyline.
There's a lot of similarities there. Yeah, that's true. I mean, on a lot of levels.
John's just so...
That's two levels. On the other hand, you got no Sinestro in that scenario because Sodom Yat had to come back and save the day, and he kind of didn't. You know, shit just happened. And there's no Hal... No, stop it. Let's not.
All right, so I won't go any further to that, even though I see a lot of similarities from the Daxam storyline and this storyline.
It's but there. It's
that's,
thin.
That's for another time. Anyway, aside from that, we're pretty much over and done with our reviews. We've enjoyed it. We've hated a few things in the Red Lantern storylines. We've enjoyed some things in the Green Lantern storylines. But pretty much we are sort of, you know, in and out as to what's going on in Green Lantern. Most of us liked it more, most of us liked it less. Red Lanterns, we all agreed that it was not that great.
I still have hope for Red Lanterns, but we'll see.
Well, we all continue to have that blue light of hope there somewhere. But still, you know, unless St. Walker's going to show up and marry, you know, Atrocitus again, we're not going to really get anything.
That would be issue of the year.
Forever, Daddy? Forever, honey.
Forever.
All right, so this has been the Green Lantern Corecast. Bidding you farewell, and remember to stay green out there.
Be sure to check us out at www.thegreenlanterncore.com.
You can also email us at contact@thegreenlanterncore.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at @theGLCore.
And be sure to check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/GLSpotlight.
You can reach our voicemail line at 313-GL1-2814. That's 313-451-2814.
Thanks for listening, and check us out next time, and please stop masturbating when I'm talking to you.
Be sure to check out Kirby Crackle, performers of our opening theme, Ring Capacity, at www.kirbycracklemusic.com. Also check out the Roy Clark Method, performers of our ending theme, Sector 2814, at freeweb.com/Roy Clark Method.
This magic ring, it is the color green. It can do anything. Sometimes it speaks to me and says, how? What have you done with your life? People around you keep dying. Use your will to right the wrong. And don't make us wait.
There's There's no after show stuff. It's just me. Hey, how you doing? You missed me this episode? Yeah, I wasn't there. Haven't read the comments in a while. Hey, if you want to listen to more of me, you can check me out on Podcast Sentai Power Rangers at podcastsentai.wordpress.com or at pspr.imkuhan.com. Just head over there, and you can hear me. And Colton, too, but also Frank, so that's cool.